Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to episode 5 of We Have No Strong Feelings About Harry Potter. We are 47 minutes and 14 seconds into Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. I'm Tom Walker.
And we are leaving off from 36 minutes, 18 seconds into Harry Potter.
We started this scene, Demi, and I know it seems so long ago. This was a prodigious amount of time. This is an 11-minute chunk for us, which is long.
That's a longish chunk. And it's mainly just because not all that much happened, except we do meet McGonagall for the first time, which is thrilling.
Well, Harry meets her for the first time. You know, we saw her turn from a cat to a person,
at least in shadow form.
What we saw initially was, of course, a train pulling into a humble station known as Hogsmeade.
What if that first scene, McGonagall had, like, been a cat, turned into a person, and just started screaming because she was a cat that accidentally turned into an old woman?
What you do?
Where my jacket? Where is my jacket?
It was a male cat too, so it's scratching at its tits trying to get them off.
No.
Who is this?
I have a McGonagall on my lap right now, which might be like, I don't know, he did not like that first loud thing that I said.
We have a beautiful cat.
So fucking beautiful. I love you, David.
So we start with that. Then we get off the train. Second form of transport, which is that
They get off the train, they're walking. Hagrid says, "Hello, Harry." And Ron looks up at Hagrid and goes, "Whoa," implying Hagen has his dick out, I guess. I don't know. Like, Ron lives in the magical world.
I will say that Robbie Coltrane got off real easy on this because 80% of his lines are, "Hello, Harry."
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right.
Your little fat cunt was the first take in the... in that weird house they were in.
Yeah, that was actually not scripted. It was Robbie Coltrane walking in and being like, "What, you got that little fatty to play the main character? Oh, hope you enjoy getting this part in a few years, kid, because I'll be dead soon." We get them. After that, Hagrid guides them to their actual transport to Hogwarts, which is a boat each.
Just a dinghy.
Dinghies. Enchanted dinghies. 4 students a dinghy. A flotilla of children approach what I can only describe as the DVD menu of this film. It is a still image of a castle.
And the boats take so long to get there that a DVD starts bouncing around the corner of their eyelids.
It disappears.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is like an enchanting scene. It's wonderful to see boats moving on their own after so long of us doing all the hard work for them.
Yeah, finally boats do something for us.
Yeah, when they get there, we see them climbing stairs, and then we see a hand rapping on the banister of the stairs, and a zoom out reveals that hand belongs to none other than Professor Minerva McGonagall, who is very cool.
She fucking rules, and might I say Maggie Smith rules as well. Did you ever see that one... interview that she did, I think it was on Greyhead Gay Man, and she's talking about she met like a 6-year-old boy in the street that like was like, "Professor McGonagall," and was incredibly excited, that was just like kind of shaking.
Yeah.
And apparently this is the quote from her. She looked him in the eyes and said, "Pull yourself together." And then so, left.
So good.
So good.
Leaving a kid not disappointed, knowing full well he'd met the real Professor McGonagall.
Oh, yeah. McGonagall. Like, I mean, Maggie Smith has always been 60, even since she was 30. Like,
yeah.
She was 60 then, and like she's 80 now, but she's still 60.
She
it's
is
incredible.
A variant of the big disease that speed ran her to 60 and then just left her there.
Left her there.
She's
great.
Stuck on the game complete screen.
Yeah.
She meets them. She explains the school. She, I guess they cut the bit where she, like Hagrid, had to explain that wizard money works in a fucking stupid way.
Yeah.
I assume every character in this movie has to remind each other how many nuts there are to a sickle to a galleon whenever they're off screen.
She explains that they'll be sorted into their houses, which include Gryffindor, Hufflepuff, Ravenclaw, and Slytherin. She spits in Malfoy's face.
Yeah.
Just the way that she says, and Slytherin, is so clearly like, which one's the evil house? How will we be able to tell which ones we're not supposed to like?
And of course, bad child house.
Naughty children tower.
Evil fascist. let's call it Slytherjuden. Your house will be like your family. Your triumphs will earn you points. The house with the most points gets the house cup. At this point, she is interrupted by Neville, who retrieves his toad.
His toad, Trevor. Which is the most toad name you could get.
I love it too.
I'm just saying. It suits a toad.
It's great. Neville nails the name of his toad in this film.
Neville nails his toad later on.
Yeah, he actually does what that chimp did with that frog.
In which YouTube video?
Oh, so glad you asked. top 10 funniest cringe moments.
top 10 anime deaths.
He's taking me beyond my limits.
Ribbit.
Draco, then the note I have here is Draco reads Ron to filth.
Oh, yeah. So McGonagall goes, she gets stuff ready. Draco comes in, basically spits in Ron's eye.
So it's true then. Harry Potter is attending Hogwarts.
I have a quote written here.
It's true then what they're saying on the train.
Yeah. I have a quote here from Draco. Some magics are yucky piggies, is what he says. If I remember correctly.
Yeah. It kind of takes Harry aside and says, hello, even in the wizarding world, there's pause. Which is like, I don't know.
It's not that they're poor. It's not that they're poor. It's that they're like known, like they're, in the war back in the day, his dad was a Death Eater and Ron's parents were, I would assume, blood traitors because later on Ron is a blood traitor.
Right. And by blood traitor.
Which means that they accept like half bloods or mud bloods and experience them or like accept them as full blooded, basically magical people, which they are obviously.
But I
So I think that like it is also because they're poor, definitely. But I think it's also that they're, you know, accepting.
Okay.
And then we go into the Great Hall.
Yep. There's a line here where Hermione, looking up at the ceiling, says, it's not real, you know, just enchanted. I read about it in Hogwarts, A History, which is the biggest nerd shit I've ever heard.
Oh, my God.
She's such a nerd, she read a book about school.
I read a pamphlet about school once that said, yucky, boring.
Oh, sorry, I've got to run home and read my list of numbers.
I'm ranking the numbers from 1 to 10.
Oh, yeah, but we're starting. The field goes to 1,000,000. So I have to read each one.
Anyway, so that's boring. And they get to the Sorting Hat.
Yeah. Hey, Sorting Hat in the books, it sings a song.
Yeah.
It sings a song
and
every year.
Oh, God. Such a beautiful... I cannot thank the producers and the director more for cutting out the song.
I think that might have come straight from JK herself because as the books go along, there are less and less opportunities for Harry to be present at the Sorting Hat song. There are only three recorded songs where Harry is present in the books, none in the films.
Something wicked this way comes.
No Sorting Hat songs.
Though. Oh, I see.
The Sorting Hat never sings a song.
Yeah, the Sorting Hat never sings a song
which
in the movies.
They are witty, and the premise is that the hat, in its isolation to keep itself from being mad in the entire year where it's not being used, it entertains itself by writing a song.
Oh, God. And it gets like, so halfway through the year, the hat contacts Todrick Hall to come help him write a song and make some Cory for the toads to do at the bottom of the stage. By the way, when I went to Universal Studios, there was this like, I don't want to just fucking go on about it, but it really is magical. When you go into like what is kind, I guess is Hogsmeade, but also kind of the front bit of the Hogsworth. Hogwarts Express is there, and like, you know, it's just kind of all of Harry Potter. But every now and then, sort of like every, I would say like hour or hour and a half, a choir comes out and like does a thing. So there was a thing where they came out.
Yes.
They came out, and I think it's in Goblet of Fire when they're doing Double, double, toil and trouble. You know that song?
Yeah.
Something wicked this way comes. And the toad ribbits.
Yes.
But when they got to the end of that bit, they all started rapping individually.
No.
And I can't remember what it was about, but it was like, yo, magic, I love my wand.
No.
And they were all white kids except for just one dude. Fuck, it was incredible, babe. Like, I can't. It was the one thing that I completely cackled my ass off in this place, because everything else was perfect. You could eat at the Three Broomsticks and we had fish.
Oh, my God.
But fuck. And also, by the way, I went to, like, you can just drink as much as you want in Universal Studios, especially in Hogsmeade. So, like, you can get, like, the Coronas from Filch's Emporium. I also just, like, I went to the bar and I was like, oh, can I get these drinks? And he was like, no, I need, like, if you're going to get three drinks, I need three IDs. I was like, oh, fuck, okay. Well, I'll just get mine. And I was like, yeah, can I get, like, a whiskey? And he was like, double? I was like, yes, I guess. Like,
double, toil, trouble.
Even though they won't, like, give you more drinks than there is IDs, they still make you a double. And also, I don't know whether you know this, but almost like 90% of the places in America, they free pour.
Yeah, right.
Like, they want tips and they free pour generously. They really want you to be fucking munted in Honey Dukes.
Yeah, right. Well, it's good to ridiculous. Know that carries through into the books.
it's true. They do have a lot of underage drinking in the Wizarding World.
It's true. Well, I mean, with Polyjuice Potion, a lot of underage potion drinking features in the Harry Potter franchise, don't you think?
Yeah, that's funny.
Oh, so good to be back.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So the Dark Forest is off limits to everyone
who does not wish to die a terrible death.
And I will correct you there. The third floor corridor on the right-hand side is out of bounds for anyone who doesn't wish to die a most painful death.
Ah, I'm
which
so
implies
sorry.
That Mr. Filch will be the one doing the killing. Also, Here is a fun fact. First bit of trivia. In order to understand what he believed to be caretaker Filch's lonely lifestyle, David Bradley and his cat rented an isolated Irish cottage and lived there for a month before filming began.
Oh, man, you're not that important in the movie, dude.
No, but he just had the money to do it, I guess.
That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's really good.
So what
we also see... Oh, no,
yes,
go ahead.
Go on.
We also see Mrs. Norris for the first time, Filch's wonderful
beautiful
cat.
Beautiful. Do you think that's a Maine Coon or do you think it's just like a rag doll?
I'm not sure, actually.
I would love to know how many cats play Miss Norris, and I would also love to know what kind of cat.
So, Mrs. Norris was played by three Maine Coon cats. Maximus,
nice, got it.
Maximus, Alanis, and Cornelis. To achieve the disheveled and unkempt appearance of Mrs. Norris, the felines wore a collar with matted fake fur attached to it.
Cool.
And also had their own beautiful coat spiked up with a non-toxic hair gel. Then they added menacing red eyes as a digital effect.
Oh.
And then they've, again, humanehollywood.com has needed to clarify, no contact lenses were used on the cats during filming.
Right, because that, can you imagine, you even trying to take the eye boogers off of our cat takes a lot of like distraction.
It takes
finesse and
time and investment. I cannot imagine trying to be like, no, just look up.
So the names of the cats again.
Maximus, Alanis.
I want you to know that I'm happy for you.
That's funny. We then have the Sorting Hat begin its ceremony.
Yeah, what kind of alphabet puts Hermione first?
Yeah, they do not go
Hermione Granger?
Again, in similarly to cutting the Sorting Hat song, they also see fit to do away with alphabetical order and go in a certain form of narrative importance.
Yeah, but also like Susan Bones, she would have been first.
Susan Bones gets a string, string hit. She gets romantic lead strings when she stands up.
Yeah, it's real weird, but also when once Hermione is sorted, she sits right next to Percy, the skeevy rat cunt.
Mm-hmm.
They're all clapping. Every time someone gets sorted into the houses, they all clap. Like, yes, we wanted that one, which is completely untrue because if you had seen Neville's previous conduct, you'd be like, not this cunt.
Yeah. Oh, you're one of... Oh, of the four people, you're us, I guess?
His last name is Stretchus.
What about if the Hogwarts houses were extrovert, introvert...
Oh, fuck. Chaotic neutral.
Yeah.
True
and,
good.
Gay.
That's all the Hufflepuffs.
Yeah. Susan, here is the Harry Potter Wiki's information on Susan Bones.
Oh, dude.
This is in the, this is deep in the article. Susan is the anglicized form of Susanna, meaning lily or rose. The lily is often a symbol of purity. It is noted that Susan is most likely named after her aunt, Amelia Bones, whose middle name is Susan. Separate bullet point. Bones is the word for the skeletal form of a being.
Oh!
Many members of Susan's family are murdered or have been killed during the books, and this may be in reference to this.
Oh my God. Can you imagine if her name was Susan Fox? What if she was like, Susan Bones? And everyone was like, she sure does.
Yeah, dude. Like you wouldn't freaking believe. There's a reason that all these empty boys are turning up on the Hogwarts Express.
Hey, Dumbledore sounds like Sam Taunton.
Oh, man, Dumbledore, I'm glad he died.
The way that this Dumbledore, who I think is only here for the first two movies and then in the third movie is replaced by...
New Dumbledore.
New Dumbledore, insert actor name.
Yep.
And this Dumbledore has the same beautiful, like genuinely pleasant to listen to lisp that Sam Taunton has.
Yes.
That I really like. The fourth ghost that appears can get it.
Which is the fourth ghost?
Oh, it's the one that I believe you definitely have a Wikipedia page open to.
Oh, the Fat Friar.
Oh, the Fat Friar. Yes, that would be the ghost.
Through the ground.
Through the ground going, whoa. I did not see you open the page, but I was like, there is no way that Tom has not looked up this fucking ghost. Because as soon as he came on screen, I could feel the vibration of excitement in the couch that I'm sitting next to you on.
Yes, absolutely. And the thing that I found... is something that brings me great joy, which is to say that that actor was on a 3-picture deal to portray the Fat Friar. The Fat Friar only appears in this movie.
Oh, that fucking rules. So, like, he still acted and got paid and they cut him.
Yep.
That rules.
I don't think he appeared in movies 2 or 3. I think he was just in this movie and they were like, this character will be a hit. And then it turned out, no.
Well, but they didn't give him a chance. We saw him for 1 second. This is the first time I've ever actually realized that he's there.
Yeah.
Here's one thing that I'll say now that we've seen ghosts in this movie. I am just so upset that we never got Peeves. Like, Peeves in the books, I was like, I cannot wait to see this on the big screen.
Yeah.
And he was not all of it. But, like, at least for the first movie, his scenes were filmed and he was going to be played by Rick Mayall.
Mm. I will say that on just the general topic of ghosts, I am glad that they wait until the children are sorted to confront them with the grisly specter of death.
True. Mm. And then for Nearly Headless Nick, or Sir Nicholas as he prefers to be called, to just, like, show kids what the inside of an esophagus looks like.
Holy shit,
like,
man.
Like, fuck. And the sound?
Yeah.
The grisly ghost. Clearch.
I will
it's
say.
It's pronounced clearch.
I want to go back just a little bit to the sorting ceremony.
Tell me.
At the sorting ceremony, Harry gets a burst of pain and then thinks that it is coming from Severus. However, in the shot, you can see that it's the back of Quirrell's head facing him,
but not the
focus of the shot.
I guess that's a good detail.
Also, the sorting hat says another Weasley with a tone that makes it clear that it is sick of the Weasleys fucking.
Stop breeding.
Please stop spitting these out into the world. We've got enough fucking red boys.
There is a line either in the books or in one of the other movies. No, I think it's in the books. There is some mention of Weasleys breeding like rabbits.
Oh, fuck. That's monstrous.
And that, like, made me feel a little bit ill. I'm pretty sure it's
I think
only
that just means
books.
From behind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Breeding like rabbits, quietly and with their eyes to the side, watching for predators.
Yeah. When the feast begins, here is a fun fact about the feast filming. All of the food you see in the Great Hall feasts is real. The director wanted a very elaborate welcome feast to match the description in the book, with roast beef, ham, turkey, and all the trimmings. Unfortunately, filming under the hot stage lighting for hours at a time quickly made the food stink, despite the meat being changed every 2 days and the vegetables twice a day. Every film past this one has samples of real food frozen and then molds made of the food and then copies cast in resin.
Oh, God.
This is the only film where there are tiny children just sit among fast rotting meat.
That's fucked.
Also, I want to say, Ron tearing into 2 drumsticks at once.
Yeah, rules.
Yeah,
that's
so
what I
good.
Would fucking do.
Oh,
kidding
man.
Me?
Absolutely.
And then throwing one back through the head of Sir Nicholas.
Yeah, dual wielding and then launching one with pinpoint accuracy through a skull.
Really, like, God of Warring that fucking chicken, but won't return to his hand.
Absolutely, dude. We then get a leave of the feast. The Gryffindors are marched up to their, I don't know what.
Common room.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Gryffindor common room. And it's upstairs from the common room is where their beds will be situated.
Of course.
They're led by Percy, the Weasley rat cunt, and they walk past a bunch of different moving paintings. One is a little girl curtsying, which is still, like, haunting because paintings, I know in that world, they're not ghosts, but it's still like, oh, do you have a soul?
Yeah.
Because I know that, like, the whole thing about, like, the headmaster paintings and stuff, they're like, why didn't Harry just go to, like, Dumbledore's headmaster painting and ask him to explain things?
Yes.
First of all, he couldn't. Snape was headmaster, so. And second of all, apparently the paintings are just basically copies of the personality of that person before they died. It's not like they're a ghost imprinted into a frame.
But does that mean
But
that
it's like, are they a separate entity? Do they have their own, like, can they have their own personality quirks? Or, like, are they just like a grim spectre? Could they gain their own personalities after that person dies? Turn into something else?
Okay. Yeah, I don't know how the entire physics of this, the transubstantiation of, like, personality being fixed and then developing is truly horrific. Do you think that when the Dumbledore in the card that Harry gets with the magic frog wanders away, as Ron says, what, you couldn't expect him to stick around here all day, would you? Do you think he has, like, a side hustle appearing in pornographic drawings?
Absolutely he does. Are you kidding me? He wraps that long beard around someone's ding-a-ling and
hell yeah.
Pulls him around the apartment.
Also, hey, an embarrassing thing about the sorting hat, it speaks out loud in the films. So everyone can just hear people say,
No, he, I don't think it can. I don't think it can. Because I like, no, in the books.
No, it definitely does. In the films, it talks out loud and it's heard by everyone. Listen,
I know it talks out loud. It's not heard by everyone. There's no way.
It totally is.
No, there's no, it's not.
It totally is.
It's not. And it's even explained in the books, I think, that like no one else can hear the Sorting Hat. You can. But
yeah,
you,
but then why do we hear everything that the Sorting Hat says in this?
Because we are looking through the eyes of Harry, the protagonist.
But this, we also hear the deliberation behind Susan Bones. We hear the deliberation between Ron Weasley.
Yeah, because it's important information for us. There's no, everybody can't hear that. There's no way.
I think they can.
I think they can.
I think that in the Harry Potter universe, filmic universe, the Sorting Hat speaks out loud and is very inconsiderate to people's feelings.
No, absolutely not. Because if that were true, I think if the Sorting Hat said, not Slytherin, eh? We would have gotten at least like a shot of Snape's face and a shot of Malfoy's face being like, what the fuck? What's wrong with Slytherin?
Hey, man, why? Why don't you want to join our little weird club for perverts?
Anyway, can you imagine if like when Nearly Headless Nick, like when she was like, nearly headless. How can you be nearly headless? And can you imagine if he was like this and brains her, just fucking kills Hermione, chops through her neck with a ghost axe.
Can I tell you the way I thought you were saying is like this and then just gaw and just almost sucks his own dick. But after he was killed, the peasants that killed him like added ribs to his body so he couldn't quite reach it.
The desecration of a corpse.
Damn.
Any other trivia on this scene? So we get to the Gryffindor common room and we see them say the password to the fat lady, which I think in it's the fourth movie. In the fourth movie, the fat lady is replaced for, I don't know this actress's name, but she is replaced by Dawn French. Who was just like, I guess they just didn't really, I don't know, I guess they just wanted a name for it. And they were like, yeah, I guess she's a fat lady. They had the painting repainted. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I got to say, it would be nice to know if she had a name. Her Harry Potter fandom wiki is just under Fat Lady.
No, that's the name of the painting.
Yeah, I think she's just Fat Lady forever, though.
Oh, no, I was talking about the actress that played the fat lady.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I'm just referencing the fact that even the painting is just Fat Lady.
I see.
So a wizard artist can't even set about just roaring anything without having it come alive.
Yeah.
Stinks. It's a bad place. It's a bad place.
Yeah.
You know? You're just starting off, you draw something with not quite right hands. That thing is now alive, has to live its entire existence.
Called
cursed
wrong
existence.
Hands?
Yeah, wrong hands is walking around asking you to pick things up for it because it can't.
I mean, it's the Hufflepuff painting, so. Yeah.
Well, fair enough.
How do you, Tom, I would love to know, what kind of feelings do you have about Harry Potter?
Me? No strong ones.
Okay.
That's for sure. Demi?
Yeah. What kind of feelings? What, Tom?
Oh, hey. Just wanted to ask you a question.
Yeah.
What kind of feelings?
Go ahead.
Thanks, man. What kind of feelings?
Is this the question?
That's funny. What kind of feelings do you have about Harry Potter?
Not strong ones.
Yeah, me neither.
Okay. Bye.
See you next time.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.